Welcome back to Background Briefing. I'm Maria Armudian. I'm host of the Scholar Circle and sitting in for Ian Masters, who's taking a well-deserved vacation. Mark Perry joins us now. He is an author and historian who specializes in military, foreign affairs, and intelligence analysis. His books include Conceived in Liberty, A Fire in Zion, and most recently, Talking to Terrorists, Why America Must Engage with Its Enemies. He has won both the 1995 National Jewish Book Award and the Project Censored Award. Welcome, Mark Perry.
Good to be here.
It's great to have you. So let's start with the Palestinian statehood vote that is going to happen very quickly. First of all, when do you think this vote will happen, and what do you expect to happen?
Well, I expect the vote to happen. It could happen as early as tomorrow. It might be kicked back a little bit, but I think the outcome is already assured. Barring, I suppose, some kind of technical glitch or some use of UN rules that I'm not familiar with, it could be postponed, but I expect that the Palestinians will win their bid and that Abu Mazen's strategy of kind of pushing the United States and Israel into a corner together and alone, with the possible exception of Micronesia and Germany, I guess, is not going to vote for it. He will win the vote. The question that remains is, if he wins the vote, what else does he win? What does it mean? I've been puzzled by the U.S. strategy on this. I think that this thing should have been done over in the past if the United States had shrugged their shoulders and said, fine, go ahead and do it, it's meaningless, and dubbed it meaningless, then it might have been. But by opposing it so adamantly, the United States has put itself in a bad diplomatic position.
Europe is still divided. I don't think Germany is the only no vote, and I think there are some abstentions. Why are other places, including Germany, abstaining or voting no?
Well, this has been happening for a long time. European states are pulling away from the United States on straight down the line support for Israel under all and any circumstances. I'm not so sure that that's as significant or as crucial as we might believe. The United States has positioned itself as the only negotiator to this conflict.
So what I mean is, why would Germany vote no? And I understand London is saying they're going to step back.
Yeah, I still think the same rule holds. Well, Angela Merkel is the author, basically, of the Quartet Principles, wants to follow the United States on them, wants to follow the diplomatic lead of the United States, believes that this is unnecessary. I think that the UK government has a different kind of a problem. They have an actual Muslim constituency, and a rather large one, and they don't need to offend them, and an abstention is a recognition of that constituency. It doesn't offend the United States that much, and it still leaves them in the game. So for both Germany and for the UK, this is an easy decision. Germany follows the United States, and the UK follows its constituency. And it's very predictable.
So most people have been saying that this has emerged as a result of the latest Gaza occurrences. And the Palestinian side has really argued that this is showing up like a moral victory. And Israel is saying almost the opposite. Do you think that neither are accurate and are using this as political capital, or do you see it in another way?
No, I think it's a political move. Moral victories don't win wars. And Abu Mazen needs to retrieve his position in the Palestinian street, especially after the ceasefire in Gaza, which seemed to empower and gain and give stature to Hamas. This is the way for him to go to his people absent negotiations and absent a settlement freeze and fill a political vacuum and say to them, we're doing everything we can to push back against our enemies. We're doing it diplomatically and not with rockets. This will work. Give me a chance and give me time. This puts him back in the headlines, and it takes Khaled Mishal out of the headlines. Mm. It's a very good political move on his part. I'm somewhat skeptical that the Palestinian people will stand up and cheer this. I think they'll support it, and we'll see praise, and we'll hear praise for Abu Mazen. But long term, it's not going to really strengthen his position. I think that Palestinian memories of this month will be of the fight in Gaza, and Hamas's clear signal that the way to get the Israelis to talk seriously is to apply some pain to them. That certainly seems to have worked in the most recent conflict.
I want to go back to that, but before we do, I want to understand what this non-member observer state status means and why they have put so many qualifiers on it.
Well, it's an interesting legal question, and I'm not an international legal scholar, obviously, but there has to be something done with the Palestinian people that gives them status as, you know, as part of this conflict and part of the solution, and as an address that you need to go to. It gives them the power to appeal to the international community and to use the international community structure to put pressure on Israel. Winning this status in this vote tomorrow will mean that it can take Israel, the Palestinian Authority, can take Israel to the International Criminal Court and hold it accountable under international law for its actions as an occupying power. This is a very unusual situation because, to make an obvious comparison, when Germany was an occupying power in World War II, it was actually occupying states, and so it was governed by international law. Israel's not occupying a state, and it's claiming that it's occupying disputed territories, that this isn't a real Palestinian state, and therefore the Palestinians have no status in the international community to bring legal action against Israel. The vote tomorrow will change that. So it's not insignificant. It makes the Palestinian players in the international community because they're actually able to bring legal action against Israel for the occupation that they're suffering.
Now, at the same time, the Palestinians are being urged not to take such action.
Well, they're going to take the action. They're going to press their claims. They have no other weapon to use outside of the ones that Hamas has shown off in the last 2 weeks or so. Abu Mazen doesn't have anything to offer his people except this. So they're going to do it. They're going to go ahead and do it. If he were to cave in, if he were to say to the United States, "You're right, I won't do this," he would expect something in return. What is it that we're going to give him? We couldn't impose a settlement freeze on the Israelis. We can't force their return to the negotiating table. We're not going to cut aid to Israel. We're not going to break with Israel. So what other, what is it that the United States can offer the Palestinians in the near term? And the answer is not a thing. So I think that Abu Mazen sees the options open to him. This is a good option. It makes him a player again, and he's going to do it. And it could be significant. It's not going to lead to a long-term solution to this conflict. But it's at least pressing the Israelis diplomatically in a way that they haven't been before.
Do you think it affects the power dynamics within Palestine between the two major political parties?
Well, I read yesterday, and I think that the reports are accurate, that Hamas has said that it will now support Abu Mazen's initiative at the United Nations. That wasn't the case before. And I think that's a result of both Hamas and Fatah and the Palestinian Authority are moving very quickly towards a reconciliation and working together. I don't think that it necessarily strengthens his hand inside the Palestinian Authority, but it's significant that Hamas would come out and support his initiative. What it means is that the Palestinians now, for the first time since the split between the two groups, are willing to work together and in coordination. And this is a vote of confidence from Hamas. They have the upper hand here after the ceasefire. So for them to come out and support the initiative is, I think, a real gain for Abu Mazen, but it shows also their willingness to move towards reconciliation, and that's a significant gain for him.
Do you expect it to also impact Hamas's attitude with Israel and meeting them at the table?
Hamas's position is that they do recognize the PLO as the sole legitimate representative of the Palestinian people, but they're not a part of the PLO. So their bid has always been, bring us into the tent. Reconciliation could begin the process of their joining the PLO, and there would be negotiations on how that would be done. And they could be part of a unity government without being holding the office of prime minister or president that would negotiate with Israel. Now, Israel's already said we won't negotiate with a government that contains any Hamas members. But it's going to be increasingly difficult for them to do so, especially after having talked to Hamas, however indirectly, in Cairo. So we may be on the verge with this move tomorrow of a series of further moves that would include reconciliation, the creation of a unity government inside the Palestinian Authority between Hamas and Fatah, and the emergence of a much more comprehensive, consensus-driven initiative on the part of the Palestinians that it would be very hard for the Israelis to say no to. So I think that Hamas and Fatah, in moving towards reconciliation and this praise for Hamas of Abu Mazen and their support for the initiative in terms of Palestinian local politics, it is significant.
Well, Mark Perry, thank you so much for joining us here, and we look forward to continuing our conversation on Sunday at noon on the Scholar Circle.
My pleasure.
Mark Perry is an author and a historian. He specializes in military, foreign affairs, intelligence analysis. His books include Conceived in Liberty, A Fire in Zion, and most recently, Talking to Terrorists, Why America Must Engage with Its Enemies. That's it for today's Daily Briefing. I'm Maria Armudian of the Scholar Circle, sitting in for Ian Masters. Thank you to Daily Briefing producer Graham Fitzgibbon and to Scholar Circle producer Melissa Chiprin. You can hear part two of our discussion with Mark Perry on Sunday at noon, followed by a Scholar Circle on conflict resolution and building peace in Palestine and Israel.